Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
As we gather this morning to worship the Lord and to seek God's purpose and God's word in our life, let's open our Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 17. I'll begin reading with verse 6 this morning. John chapter 17 and verse 6 is our passage today. While you're finding your place, maybe someone's got a word of testimony, something the Lord is leading them to share with us this morning. If so, now is the time for you to do that. Amen. Amen. It's always good to hear people lift up that great name of Jesus and His salvation and how that blesses their life and their heart. Someone else this morning? Okay. All right, John chapter 17, beginning with verse 6. The Lord Jesus Christ has this to say as He was continuing in His prayer. Remember, this is the great priestly prayer of Christ. And this prayer is going out. He's praying to God, His Father. And they are in Gethsemane. And Jesus is there getting ready to meet those that are coming to arrest Him. And as He is doing so, the disciples are standing close by and they are hearing Jesus pray. And this prayer is doing a great deal for them. This prayer is for them. And just as it was for them in this day and hour, it is for you and I today. It is for the born-again Christian this morning. And there are some things that are very pertinent to our lives that we're going to get out of this today. So as we continue in the thought of the great priestly prayer of Jesus, beginning with chapter 17, verse 6, I have manifest thy name unto men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and all thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. May God add blessing to the reading of His word today. Let's do something a little different this morning. Let's bow in prayer and let's ask God to lead us in His word and have His word speak to our heart this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the word that you have provided. Thank you for the message that you have given. I pray, Heavenly Father, that this message would go out, it would touch hearts and lives as you purpose it to do. And Lord, I would ask that each one of us would focus our attention this morning, that the Holy Spirit would take our attention and place it upon your word, not upon our thoughts of this afternoon, not upon our thoughts or our concerns of the moment, but upon you and your word, and that you would have your will in everything that's said and done today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Do you realize, and I'm sure you do, that the Christian life is a bold life? It is bold because our Lord and our Savior is bold. Jesus too often is portrayed as some weak, passive person that is just a pushover. He is portrayed too often as someone who really doesn't take a firm stand on things. He's portrayed as someone who is more interested in being a public figure than he is being the Son of God and being the authority of the Creator of the universe. Jesus is bold. Think about the temple. When Jesus went into the temple, Jesus saw the money changers were there. They had no business being there, but they were. He saw that people were selling animals for sacrifice, which they were not supposed to be doing. If you were going to bring an animal for sacrifice into the temple, it had to be something personal from you. It had to come out of your stock. It had to be the best that you had to offer. It had to be something that you willingly sacrificed to God and gave to Him. Jesus saw this and He became furious. He became furious that God's house had been turned into this kind of a marketplace. It was, in effect, turned into nothing more than today's flea markets. That's what He saw. And He went through and He started turning over tables and He took whips and He started running people out. Now, when we think about a table, we may think of something like this communion table. We may think of something like in our fellowship hall. We may think of something like as in the Sunday school room, or maybe even something like our kitchen table at home. But those aren't accurate to what Jesus was looking at. The tables that Jesus were looking at had large, heavy timber bases. They weren't something small like we have today. They were huge. They had marble top. And I'm not talking about a thin piece of marble like we see today. I'm talking about marble that was a foot or more thick. And Jesus grabbed these tables with His hands and He flipped them. He turned them over. Jesus was no wimp. And Jesus was no pushover. Jesus was graceful. Jesus was merciful. Jesus was kind. Jesus was compassionate. Jesus was giving people an opportunity to hear what God had to say to them, but then they pushed it too far when they infringed on God's house, on God's place where they met with Him. And Jesus said, "That's enough. You're not going to do that to my Father's house." But when we think of Christianity today, we often have a misguided picture of what Christianity is. We have a politically correct, media-generated social image of Christianity. And too often, it finds its way into the church. And it's wrong. It is just flat wrong. The church should not be led by public opinion. The church should not be decided by public opinion. The church should not be directed in any way, shape, form, or fashion by doctrine, theology, or anything else by public opinion. We have God's Word. Either we understand this to be inerrant, without any error at all. That doesn't mean, well, some of it is and some of it isn't. If it is inerrant, it is inerrant. Totally. Complete. From cover to cover. Now, we can be wrong and we can try to explain that away if we want to. And we can misguide and mislead ourselves down false doctrine and false images. Or we can be submissive to God's Word, and we can accept right off the bat that it is inerrant, God is right, and we are wrong, and if there is any idea or thought or suggestion that there is a contradiction in God's Word, it's not that God's Word is contradiction, it's that I don't understand it. Now, it takes some humility to come to that point. But that's what Jesus has taught throughout His ministry. Jesus wants you and I to be victorious. He wants you and I to take hold of and understand what He lived for, what He taught, what He wrote, what He gave us. He wants you and I to experience that victory that he gave and that he provided, beginning with his incarnation to his death, burial, and resurrection, and even up to the point of his ascension into heaven. We don't have to walk around defeated. Too often Christians decide and choose to walk around spiritually defeated. The good news is, we don't have to do that. We don't have to choose a life of spiritual defeat. We don't have to choose a life of being browbeaten and pushed around. We don't have to choose that. We should be choosing to be peacemakers. We should be choosing to be a sound, bold testimony of the Word of God to the world that is around us. We should be choosing to be submissive to God and to His Word and to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be the person and the Christian that He wants us to be. And when we're looking at the high priestly prayer, that is exactly what Jesus is referring to and talking to God about. He's talking to God about His people living the life of a separated saint. And that's the message this morning. The separated saint. Have you ever thought of yourself as a saint of God? If you're saved today, you are. Do you realize the word Christian is mentioned once in your Bible? The word saint is used as an adjective to describe the body of Christ, the church, many, many times in your Bible. If you are saved today and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are a saint of God. How does that make you feel? How does that make you feel when you think about your life and your perspective and how you're addressing your Christian walk? That should make all of us back up and take a closer look. That should make all of us take a closer look at our life and say, wow, if God, and through the blood of Christ, has given me the title of a saint of God, that's something special. But if God has given that title, God has also equipped you to handle it correctly. God has equipped you to embrace it. God has equipped you to take it and in awe, in just awesome wonder today, put it in your heart, put it in your life, and say, God, here it is. Here is your saint. What are you going to do with me? So, if you're a separated saint today, and we've read our passage, and we've seen what Jesus had to say in his prayer to God, how do those two connect? That's what I want to preach to you about this morning. I want to show you how those two connect spiritually, and how that spiritual connection applies to your life. How that spiritual connection is going to make the difference in your life where you do not have to walk around daily feeling defeated. It shows you your victory. Your victory. First, we see that we are separated through word. Not just any word, but we are separated through the Word of God. The disciples of Christ are not just familiar with God's Word, they are living proof of God's Word. If you're saved today, you are living proof of God's Word. If you are sitting here today or listening to this message and you find yourself under the conviction to get saved, you too are living proof of God's Word. If you find yourself pushing away from God and refusing and rejecting salvation, you are living proof of God's Word. God's Word is true. God's Word is sincere. God's Word is all that we have for truth, and it's all that we need for truth. First, we realize that if we're separated through the Word, if we are separated through God's Word, we live it inside the church, and we live it outside the church. When I say that we live it inside the church, we are being the church. We are being the body of Christ. We're not playing church. We're not attending church. We're not associating with church. We are being the church. And we are allowing the Word of God to lead us, to guide us, to direct us in everything that we do. God's Word is our roadmap through life. God's Word is what starts our day. God's Word is what ends our day. God's Word is what directs our footsteps. God's Word is what directs our words and our language. God's Word is what corrects all of that when we fail and when we stumble. And it's not if we fail and stumble, it is when we fail and stumble. Because in the reality of all things, you're going to fail God. If that is something that catches you off guard this morning, well, it's time that it does, because you will fail God. You have failed God. I have failed God. But the good part of God's Word is we are seeing it, and we can have God's Word speak to us and show us how we have failed God and how He wants to reclaim us, how He wants to revive us, how He wants to reestablish us in a good relationship with Him. We don't have to go through our lives being a prodigal son. God is standing there with His arms wide open this morning, and God is saying, if you have wandered, if you have moved away, if you're out squandering, come home. Come home. If we are a separated saint, we're going to live it inside the church as being the body of Christ, as being the church. And we're going to live it outside of the church. We're going to be the same person in the workplace that we are in worship. There's not going to be two different people in two different locations. We're going to be the same person. Our heart is going to be the same heart. Our spiritual direction is going to be given by the Holy Spirit. Everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we are is going to be directed by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, whomever we are here in church is going to be the same person we are outside of church, and vice versa. If we got to get our life right outside the church, then we've got to get our life right inside the church. If we're living right and we're serving God faithfully inside the church, then we should be living right and serving God faithfully outside the church. There should be no difference. None. When Jesus says, I have manifested thy name. Manifested is made known or revealed. Jesus said He has revealed God to the disciples. If He has revealed God to those disciples, He has revealed God to our disciples, to us, because He is revealed through His Word. Those men which Thou gavest me out of the world, Thine they were, and Thou gavest them to me, and they have kept Thy Word. Separated through Word. God gave them. God called us through the Holy Spirit to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior and to seek forgiveness of our sin. Jesus saved us. We were saved through the blood of Jesus. We were given to God through that salvation, and it is the Word of God that has kept us saved. It is the Word of God that has led us to that salvation. It is the Word of God that keeps us separated as far as a saint goes and as far as serving God goes. And it is through that word that we live that separation in the privacy of our home, just as we do in public. We can't be a born-again Christian inside the house of God and inside of the Walmart and inside of all of the other places around the community and then get home and in the privacy of our home think that, well, God's not paying attention, so I can go do this, I can visit this website, I can watch this on television, I can enjoy this and I can indulge myself in that. God sees it. God sees it. Not only does He see it, but He knows our heart. It's not something that we decide to do when we get behind closed doors. It's something that we have already determined we're going to do just as soon as the opportunity presents itself. We may put on a good front at times, but if our heart is leading us to be separated from God by being all worldly and by indulging ourselves in things that He calls sin, we're separating ourselves not by word, and we're not separating ourselves to be a saint of God, but we're separating ourselves to be a prodigal son. And God convicts us of that. If we carry God into our homes, we're going to raise godly families. If we carry God into our homes, it's going to be a testimony to those in the community. If we carry God into our homes, our prayer life is going to go right there with it. Our study habits are going to go right there with it. We're going to be reading God's Word in the privacy of our home just like we would read it sitting here in the sanctuary, just like we would read it anywhere else publicly. But we will do it in all places from the desires of our heart to get closer to God. Not only does Jesus show us that the saint is separated through word, but the saint is separated through prayer as well. Jesus prayed for His disciples. He prayed. In verse 9, Jesus says, I pray for them. Those that were present at Gethsemane and those that are present here today. Jesus prayed for you. Jesus sought God on your behalf. Now that ought to do something to you this morning. That ought to stir something inside your heart. To think that Jesus would pray for you. To see it written down right here. Jesus prayed for me. Jesus lifted me up to God. Not for the world, He said, but I pray for them which God has given Him. Because we are His. If Jesus would pray for you, should you not pray for one another? Should you not seek that and pray for one another? Should you not seek that petition to God on behalf of circumstances and situations? Kneeling before God and calling out to Him, not just in a public prayer, that we need public prayer. We should be doing public prayer. We should be in a corporate fellowship and in a corporate mood. That petition should always be there. But more so, the most effective petition and prayer life that we can have is a private prayer life where we are seeking the glory of God and the moving of God, not just in our life, but in those around us. And we're seeking to draw ourselves closer to them and closer to Him. And then we should be praying with a heart of thanksgiving. We should be looking at what we have and be thankful for what we have and what God has blessed us with. Be thankful for the salvation and for the saving grace that God has given and brought into our lives. We should be thankful for everything that we are blessed with today because we realize that there are those around the world that have much less than we do. Not because God loves us more, but just simply because our prayers have been answered and God has decided to bless us so that we can share that blessing around the world and help bring those others into a closer relationship with them so that He can bless them as His desires have, as His sovereignty yields. And then there is supplication. Pray for God to supply. Supply our needs according to His riches and glory. What does God want in your life? What does He want in your life? Are you seeking that? And are you asking Him to supply for you everything that would be needed for you to meet His expectations, His calling, His gifts? Those are things that a prayer life should be based around. And those are things that separate the saint of God from those that are in the world, from those who are wandering around today and just seeking whatever pleasure they might find, seeking whatever popularity they may find. We are separated through word, we are separated through prayer, and we are separated through service today. Jesus tells us in the last verse, in verse 10, He tells us, I am glorified in them. There's a lot that's involved in those few words. Jesus says, in them. The born-again child of God this morning has Jesus in their heart. Jesus is in you. And for the saint of God that is separated into the work of God, Jesus is glorified in your life. So then that comes down to the point, a question pointed directly at each one of us today. Does our lives glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? I can't answer for anyone but me. I fail often. My desires may be to be that person. My heart may be seeking the Lord's work in my life to be that person that glorifies Jesus. But in doing so, I fail way too often. But my heart is there. The disciple who seeks the glory of God is the disciple who will be the one who glorifies Christ through their life. Because we will be humble enough to admit and realize when we have failed God. We'll be humble enough to admit and realize when we have failed our brothers and sisters in Christ. We will be humble enough to realize when we need to repent. We'll be humble enough to realize when we need to seek God's hand for a closer walk with Him in our personal life. We'll be humble enough to realize that it's me who has to get closer to God before I worry about anybody else. We'll be separated through service because we can't serve God and be serving other people and have God serving other people through us until we have gotten to the point where we realize we need to be served through the Word of God and through the prayer of God, and we need Him moving in our heart and moving in our lives today. That's something that we have to get our heart wrapped back around. God doesn't meet us on our terms. He supplies everything that we need for us to meet Him on His terms. On His terms. So realizing that we are separated through the Word, we are separated through prayer, we are separated through service, when you examine your life today, are you a separated saint? We can't have, you can't have, I can't have the right relationship with God when we are out of fellowship with Him. And here's something else. We can't have a right relationship of God when we're out of fellowship with other people, with other Christians. Well, preacher, you just don't understand. I may not. But this is what I know from God's Word. And that is, if there is a fellowship broken between brothers and sisters in Christ, and neither one of them are reaching out to fix that, and that fellowship remains broken, you can't be a separated saint. You can't be the saint of God that He wants you to be to reach the hearts and the lives of others. You can't be the separated saint of God that's going to lead others and going to lead His church and is going to make a difference in His church. You can't do that. That fellowship has to be restored. That fellowship has to be fixed. If it's broken fellowship with God, it's got to be fixed. If it's broken fellowship with others in the church, it's got to be fixed. If we're going to be the separated saint that God wants us to be, the separated saint that Jesus speaks of here in this prayer when He is lifting up His disciples to His Father in prayer and getting ready to go to the cross, if we are going to be that person and we're going to fill that role today, we have to make sure that our heart and our life is right. We have to make sure that we are separated through the Word of God, that it speaks as a guiding light to us and that it leads us individually. We have to know that we are separated through prayer. We have to know that through that Word and through that prayer, we are separated into service. Service to others, service to God, and allowing Him to guide and lead and direct us into that service of others. You can't fully experience a bold Christian life until you have that new birth in Christ. And you can't continue that bold Christian life until you know you have that proper walk with Christ. Are you living the life of a separated saint? As you think about that, I want to ask if our song leaders would come and give us a hymn of invitation this morning. And as they do, think about the separated saint. Think about your life. Think about your approach to the Word of God, your approach to prayer, your approach to godly service that is guided by sound Christian love. As they prepare this hymn, I want you to bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that Your Word has touched hearts and lives this morning. I pray that Your Word has encouraged. I pray that it has convicted. I pray that it has met all of the needs that You have established it to do. Heavenly Father, I believe that each one of us today can find a purpose for being a separated saint. And I believe we can also find a way that we have failed in that calling. And Lord, I just pray that You would have Your will and Your way as we sing this hymn of invitation and this hymn of closing today. If anyone needs this altar, if anyone needs to do business with You, I pray right now that Your conviction would be so strong that they cannot and they will not put it off. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Ladies,